Some of you are going to find this a bit incredulous, but here's something that federal, state, and local governments all tell us to do that we should actually listen to. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You've heard about the health benefits of increasing plant-based nutrients into your diet, but how can you easily consume all the fruits and veggies needed? Well, it's easy. By adding grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity into your meals. Grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity is a power blend that has 31 fruits and vegetables in every scoop. Organic vegetables, super greens, super fruits, and super sprouts. It is fortified with essential vitamins plus an immunity boost. And right now, you can get a free 2-week supply of grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity by just paying $8.95 for the shipping and handling. And not only that, you'll also get a free frother to quickly whip up your healthy and nutritious grown American drink. Go to grownamericansuperfood.com/John and order today.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
Good evening to you. I'm John Fugelsang, joined by the great Thea Harper here in the profoundly empty Howard Stern Tower of SiriusXM, the crown jewel in the empire of the world's largest streaming audio company, 475 stories above Gotham. And there's nobody here. It's very quiet, so we're going to rely on your calls all night to keep us from getting too lonely. And fortunately, there's a lot to talk about. For the next 3 hours, we'll be reachable at 866-997-4748. We would love to hear from you. 866-997-GRIT. I hope you had a good weekend. I'm thrilled to see you, Thea. Our executive producer, Chris Hauselt, is still off on vacation somewhere. I'm exhausted. We had a crazy day on Friday. I was up doing Stephanie Miller early in the morning and then had Dino Badala's show and then the Daily Beans show. And then I had to do MSNBC for Stephanie Ruhle. Thank you guys for your very fine comments for that appearance on Friday night. They must have liked it. They re-aired it on Saturday. And then we had our show. Then we had our town hall with Dr. Phil at the end of our show. Thank you guys for the very angry comments about that as well. And then crazy weekend. Got to see Eddie Izzard doing his one-woman show of Hamlet yesterday. She plays every character. Eddie is a she now. You know this, right? One of the greatest comedians in the world is identifies as a she now. She does every character in Hamlet. No narration, just acts them all out. They cut it down from 4 hours to 2.5. It's really fascinating. And she's going to be back on our show this week. I'm really thrilled to welcome Eddie Izzard back and to talk all about that. And then back to the crazy. Lots going on here this week. Today's been pretty wild. We want to know what you think. I hope you're calm. People were very upset today, and I know how it is. We have a great show planned for everyone tonight at 866-997-4748. We're going to be joined by Texas State Representative Eddie Morales Jr. and comedian Rhonda Hansel. We'll be live in hour two taking your calls. So lots to get to. It's been really crazy. I hope you weren't too upset about the Supreme Court today. Let's do a show. It's been 91 years ago. 91 years ago today, FDR was sworn into his first term, and Frances Perkins was appointed as Secretary of Labor, the first woman ever in a U.S. cabinet. She led the charge during the New Deal era, and her policies not only helped stabilize the economy, but laid the groundwork for the modern middle class we had in the 50s and 60s and 70s that Republicans have been dismantling since the Reagan administration. And Super Tuesday is almost on us. 15 states and one territory cast their vote this Tuesday. We'll have special live coverage and report on any possible, although unlikely, surprises. Now, let's talk about the court, because it was a crazy one. Social media was very toxic today, but the Supreme Court has ruled Donald Trump will remain on the ballot in all of the states. As we have predicted here many times, the Supreme Court ruled states cannot enforce the 14th Amendment for federal candidates, which is a way of saying it's going to leave it up to us, the voters, to decide whether the former president should be sent to the White House or the big house? Now, the headline should be, insurrection accessory and insurrection sympathizer Clarence Thomas rules that insurrectionist Donald Trump can remain on the ballot despite insurrection. But they're not going to do that. Instead, the highest federal court has said that state courts can't enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, more or less because you can't disenfranchise the voters unless they're women. The ruling said that Congress is the only body that can enforce the 14th Amendment language blocking those who engaged in insurrection from federal office. To make it more confusing, the court didn't specify how Congress could do a policy to put in place to interpret and enforce Section 3, leaving the Supreme Court down the road to interpret any mechanism any conceivable Congress might come up with, if you follow me. Do you understand? I don't either. Here's what I do know. Progressives are way too upset about this, and right-wingers are way too happy. Now, I've said here from the beginning on this show, this whole thing of trying to throw Trump off the ballot for the 14th Amendment is not going anywhere. It's never going anywhere, and it shouldn't go anywhere. I love the idea in theory. As constitutional fan fiction, I loved it. Never thought it would work. Never thought it would happen. Never thought for a second this Supreme Court would allow it. Donald Trump, guys, is probably not going to be held accountable for January 6th in any way before the November election. And that is because that's how our system works. I mean, we have a justice system. In case you haven't noticed, and I expect progressives and people who listen to this channel already know, we have a system designed to insulate wealthy white men from prosecution. Okay, that's how it's all set up. Why are we shocked as having troubles dealing with Trump? So Trump is still going to be on the ballot in Colorado. And it's not bad news, guys. Let me explain. Let's go back in time. Way back in December of last year, the Colorado Supreme Court ruled Donald Trump is disqualified from running for president under an anti-insurrectionist provision of the Constitution. And this was brought by a Republican group in Colorado. Republicans filed the suit. But today's Supreme Court ruling reversed that, saying Congress, not the states, has to enforce Section 3 of the 14th. Now, Section 3 states, and we've probably all learned a little bit more about this than we wanted to, but that an elected official or a judicial or executive officer cannot have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the nation. And so Congress, by a two-thirds vote in each chamber, can remove this obstacle from allowing them to serve. Now, the ruling in Trump versus Anderson does reverse the Colorado Supreme Court's disqualification. And it also means that his disqualifications in Illinois and Maine are over. They will not stand. The overall judgment that Colorado couldn't throw Trump off the ballot was unanimous. Four justices took issue with how far the ruling went in saying Congress has to pass legislation for this to be enforced against a federal candidate. Now, six justices, John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, and Brett Kavanaugh, spoiler alert, they're the ones who wrote no state could throw a federal candidate off the ballot. And as Donald Trump's Sith Master Roy Cohn used to say, don't tell me what the law is. Tell me who the judge is. The court's three liberal-leaning justices, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, they all agreed with the main result of the decision, yeah, but they maintained that this decision was way too broad and shuts the door on other potential means of federal enforcement. And four justices took issue with how far the ruling went and saying Congress has to pass a law for this. Now, the ruling says a state can't disqualify a presidential candidate, in part because a state doesn't have that power, And it's not the worst argument, guys. Having such power could lead to chaos. The court said it would be incongruous to read this particular amendment as granting the states the power, silently no less, to disqualify a candidate for federal office. The ruling says that allowing the states this power would lead to a patchwork approach. Every state will ban different candidates for different reasons. They said an evolving electoral map could dramatically change the behavior of voters, parties, and states across the country in different ways at different times. The disruption would be all the more acute and could nullify the votes of millions and change the election result if Section 3 enforcement were attempted after the nation has voted. And it said nothing in the Constitution requires we endure such chaos arriving at any time or different times up to and perhaps the inauguration. The five guys went further, saying the 14th Amendment is not self-executing, that Congress has to enforce it. So, I know, right? Welcome to America. The only nation on earth where a millionaire at birth criminal cretin has the freedom to hire his own judges. So yes, the Supreme Court ruled for Trump. based on only Congress having the power to enforce the 14th. But just as important today is what they didn't do. Okay? Come off the ledge for a second. They did not in any way challenge that Trump was an insurrectionist. And their concurrence emphasizes that. The ruling does not deny that the attack on the Capitol was an insurrection. They don't dispute that Trump engaged in it. So he escaped on a technicality, like Freddy Krueger. The state Supreme Court said Trump's actions constituted overt, voluntary, and direct participation in the insurrection. Colorado District Court and Colorado Supreme Court said he engaged in insurrection. A judge in Illinois and Maine Secretary of State found that Trump engaged in insurrection. A lot of other judges have accused Trump of that. The Supreme Court did not say that's not true. Now, again, the three judges on the liberal wing objected to this, and Amy Coney Barrett objected less forcefully to the overall rule. The concurrence from Sotomayor, Kagan, and Ketanji Brown says that they agree allowing Colorado to disqualify Trump would lead to chaos. And I think it would, because then you guys know what would happen. The red states would start throwing Joe Biden off the ballot for whatever reason they wanted. It would be a mess. But they disagree that congressional enforcement was critical to the 14th Amendment. They said these five justices decide novel constitutional questions to insulate this court and petitioner, meaning Trump, from future controversy. By resolving these and other questions, the majority attempts to insulate all alleged insurrectionists from future challenges to their holding federal office. And in a very rare note of disagreement, Amy Coney Barrett raised some concerns and said the court should turn the national temperature down, not up. So by not weighing in on whether Trump took part in insurrection, I mean, that's open to Congress's interpretation, I guess. But what if Trump wins in November and then the Democrats control both chambers of Congress and they move to disqualify him? Why couldn't they? But here's what matters, all right? Because, again, way too many liberals upset about this. Right-wingers, way too happy. Come back to earth. I've said from the beginning this was never going to happen. Outside of the insane situation that a patchwork election system would create, some of the Democrats who were high on this idea, and I respect them all, but I don't think they all thought through the politics of it. These ballot removals handed Donald Trump a huge issue to fire up his base, doing his favorite thing, playing victim, playing martyr. Imagine the response from Republicans if the Supreme Court did in fact bar Donald Trump from the ballot. They'd lose their minds, and you know it. They would say, Democrats hate democracy. Democrats hate one person, one vote. Instead of allowing the process to happen, these unelected judges come in, and they ended the contest before it began. We have the right as citizens to vote who we want to write. And Democrat, you know what would happen. Democrats would be turned into the bad guys so fast. Instead of this story disappearing in 2 days, they'd say Democrats are crooked. They rigged it. They rigged the election. They tipped the scales. It's stupid. It's not true. But you know they'd do it, and you know they'd believe it. The Supreme Court saved Democrats from a trap. Much like his indictments, these decisions in Illinois, Colorado, this motivated MAGA. And it never actually threatened Trump's campaign in any state where he's got a shot of winning in November. It wasn't going to change anything. And remember, please, this was a group of Republicans who initially brought the suit against Trump in Colorado. And they lost, and then they appealed to the Colorado Supreme Court, and they won on a reversal. Here is Donald Trump, who has just won, saying you can't take someone out of the race because an opponent would like them to have him this way. Again, he's crowing, he's having a victory dance, but imagine if he had been denied. Imagine the victimhood. Here it is.
I will start by thanking the Supreme Court for its unanimous decision today. It was a very important decision. We're very well crafted. And I think it will go a long way toward bringing our country together, which our country needs. And they worked long, they worked hard, and frankly, they worked very quickly on something that will be spoken about 100 years from now and 200 years from now, extremely important. Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's the leading candidate, whether it was the leading candidate or a candidate that was well down on the totem pole. You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly.
God, he's stupid. I'm sorry you have to listen to this. He's so dumb. Someone wrote that for him to say. Donald Trump talking about bringing the nation together. But if this had happened, it would have been a very different speech. It would have been a rallying cry for every racist and fake Christian and white nationalist in the country. We would be hearing the word witch hunt all night. The word witch hunt would be thrown at everybody left of Lindsey Graham. So again, I'm not saying we shouldn't let the justice system do its job in Trump's many upcoming trials. I'm saying this would have been bad for democracy and Joe Biden and Democrats if it had gone against Donald Trump. Here, Donald Trump gives a preview of the speech he wanted to give, where presidents shouldn't have to go through what he's gone through.
I don't want to be prosecuted because I decided to do something that is very much for the good of the country and actually for the good of the world. A president shouldn't have that on his mind, and he has to have a free and clear mind when he makes very big decisions. Or it's going to be nothing more than a ceremonial post. You'll be president, it'll be a wonderful thing, and you won't do anything because you don't want to be hit by your opponent or hit by somebody else, because who wants to leave office and go through what I've gone through? I'm being prosecuted by Biden, my opponent.
Lie.
Because every one of these things, whether it's Fannie Willis or Bragg, these are local and state, but they're in total coordination with the White House. You can't do that.
That's all a lie. Donald Trump has been indicted by grand juries of American citizens who have viewed the evidence and decided to indict him. Joe Biden doesn't control this. Joe Biden is so determined to not control this, they're indicting his son. I mean, like literally, the Merrick Garland, who he hired to be attorney general, is indicting his own son. What matters here is that Republicans keep losing under Trump. In Michigan, they've lost the governor's mansion, the state house, and the state senate. Same in Minnesota. In Colorado, only one statewide GOP candidate has gotten more than 45% of the vote since 2016. They lost almost every special election in 2023, even in Virginia. They lost the midterms. The red wave never happened. They lost in 2018. They lost in 2020. Democrats do not need to talk about kicking Donald Trump off ballots. Democrats need to talk about Joe Biden's success in saving the economy after COVID, how Joe Biden brought back manufacturing, how Joe Biden fought for veterans with the PACT Act. Democrats need to talk about how Joe Biden has canceled billions of dollars in student debt, how now the big three pharma companies are negotiating with Medicare, how now you can get cheaper insulin if you're on Medicare. Democrats need to talk about how Joe Biden has revitalized our country's infrastructure. You can buy hearing aids over the counter now, and he's decriminalized weed at the federal level. And Democrats need to talk about, while Joe Biden has been doing this, Republicans all around the country are trying to limit voting rights, and they're banning books in schools, and they're trying to restrict in vitro fertilization. They're doing a lot of things that are unpopular with voters, and they're fighting for a more severe national abortion ban. Did you see the other headlines today? Because this one got all the attention. But if you look at the other headlines, Alan Weisselberg, the former chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, he's pleading guilty today to perjury charges relating to the testimony he gave at Trump's fraud trial. Also in the headlines, the estate of Sinead O'Connor is demanding that Trump stop playing her songs at his rallies. He's been playing Nothing Compares to You at his campaign events. Chrysalis Records put out a statement. It is no exaggeration to say Sinead would have been disgusted, hurt, and insulted to have her work misrepresented in this way by someone who she herself referred to as a biblical devil. Did you see that headline? Did you see the headlines from the BBC about how Trump supporters are now sharing fake AI images of Donald Trump with his arms around groups of black voters to prove that he's popular with them? Like, there's more black women in this ad than actually voted for Trump. The BBC found dozens of deepfakes going all over social media. They seem realistic at first glance. Then you lean in and you see someone's hands missing a finger or something. But it's Donald Trump surrounded by fake black people. Those are the real headlines, folks. He's still a crook. He's still a thieving pig. And he's still a lying racist. And you want to know the biggest headline of today? He's not going to get clearance with this court for immunity. Listen, the ruling was the bone that the Supreme Court threw to Trump before denying him absolute immunity. Yes, they punted that for a couple of months in a criminal way to try to help him all they can. But it doesn't change the fact. He's a soft, weak, flabby sissy boy who stole from veterans. He calls our veterans losers. He mocks prisoners of war and Gold Star families. He wears too much makeup. He wears way too much hairspray, and he doesn't like dogs, and he's scared of rain. You want to know what Democrats talk about not taking him off the ballot? 26,313 pregnant rape victims in Texas since the Republican Party took abortion rights away. That's according to the Houston Chronicle. 26,313 American citizens forced by Republicans in just one state to be pregnant against their will by rapists. That is Trump's America. That's what MAGA fights for. Guys, 91 years ago today, President Franklin Roosevelt gave his inauguration speech and said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself. The only thing that beats Trump is us. It's not going to be the media. It's not going to be the courts. Black Panther and Batman and Jesus and Gandhi and MLK aren't going to come do it. Us in democracy." And again, all of this was for a state that Trump was already going to lose. He lost Colorado by 14 points in 2020, and he's going to lose Colorado in November. Thank God he's still on the ballot, so we can all see him do what he does best, be a loser. We want to know what you think. We're at 866-997-4748. We'll be right back with your calls and with Texas State Representative Eddie Morales Jr. This is SiriusXM Progress.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
So pleased to welcome our next guest. Heriberto Eddie Morales Jr. is a lifelong resident of Eagle Pass, Texas, and he's currently serving as state representative for District 74, which is the largest and most unique district in Texas. It's made up of 11 counties extending from his hometown in Eagle Pass, Maverick County, to the northeast portion of El Paso County, and includes over 770 border miles with Mexico. In addition to serving as state representative, Mr. Morales is also a partner and member of the management board at Langley and Bannock Insurance Attorneys at Law, currently supervises their satellite office in Eagle Pass. He is also a city attorney for Eagle Pass and Brackettville and an avid real estate investor. He keeps very, very busy, and it's great to have Eddie Morales Jr. with us on SiriusXM. Thank you so much for joining us.
John, the pleasure is ours. Thank you.
You represent the largest House district in the whole state, 74. 9 of the 14 counties that share a border with Mexico. So your opinion on this is of keen interest to us. It covers, I think, 775 border miles and 4 land points of entry, 7 if you include the land ports in El Paso. I think I'm right on that. Am I getting the facts correct?
You got everything right.
Oh, yes, my sir. God. Great. Well, as someone who's obviously very familiar with issues regarding immigration and border control, how, sir, would you describe the current situation at our border?
Well, I first like to say that you would think that the governor, knowing that there's a representative that represents 9 of the 14 counties, would pick up the phone, right, and actually visit with that representative, being a lifelong member of a border community. But You know, it's too easy and it makes too much sense to do, you know, little things like that. So I would say that right now the numbers are down. Now, they are ticking up a little bit from late January and February. If you recall, in late December, early January, President Biden sent Mayorkas and Blinken to Mexico to visit with the president of Mexico. From those discussions and those negotiations, we saw within a day or two immediate action by the state and federal government in Mexico that was actually now holding migrants back, putting them in buses and in airplanes and sending them back to their original place before they traveled through Mexico. That was really the impetus as to why the numbers dropped sharply in January. It wasn't Governor Abbott taking over Shelby Park, as you will hear the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and Governor Abbott. The concern, and there's an amazing article by a retired Border Patrol agent by the name of Randy Clark from Eagle Pass. He is as conservative as can be, and he called it right on the Breitbart article when he mentioned this is only temporary in nature and until we can get the border bill passed. Otherwise, we can count on these numbers increasing because Mexico will take the position of you didn't fund us the way we needed to have some of this funding in order to be able to help the United States. So we're left now with, we're just going to look again the other way because the massive amount of migrants, we can't sustain them and we can't just do it on our own. We need U.S. money for this. And that's what you're now seeing. That's been the concern of Randy Clark, ex-retired Border Patrol agent. That's been the concern of a number of local elected leaders. And that's been our concern as well. And we're seeing that uptick in numbers. And so it is super important for all of your listeners to make sure that we keep all eyes and all ears on Congress and that we force them to actually do the work that they were supposed to do for over three decades, which they have failed us miserably as Americans. And secondly, also, there is a perfect opportunity for every one of your listeners tomorrow on Election Day in the state of Texas for you all to go in there and make state representatives, state senators, as I am a state rep, as well as federal folks that you're going to be voting for, candidates, to make sure that you actually educate yourselves before going to the ballot box and making sure that you're going to be supporting, even if it's an independent, a Democrat or a Republican, but you're willing to support candidates that are going to be talking to each other. They're going to be communicating, that there's going to be compromise and negotiation. Because right now for the far right, those words are dirty words, especially in D.C., about compromise and negotiation. And anybody, you saw one of the most conservative senators, U.S. senators in Lankford, negotiate the border bill.
That's right.
And he got censured by his own party for doing the very same issue that any one of us would do if we were elected to office. Because for the last 2.5 years, especially the far right has been claiming that the sky is falling with respect to the border security and our broken immigration
system. That's right.
We have a perfect opportunity to pass the most restrictive border security measures in decades. We end up finding out that after all, it's the far right and Republicans that were open borders.
I love everything you just said, and you're exactly right. They are open borders, and worse than that, I mean, Ronald Reagan was open borders. He advocated for open borders, literally, his language. These folks are advocating for something more destructive. They want chaos. They want this chaos at the border. As our listeners know, if you are standing on American soil, you are allowed to claim asylum. Here, representative in New York, we're only about a mile or so from this statue in the harbor that literally announces that to the rest of the world. That's our law. And the main crux of Lankford's bipartisan deal in the Senate was, and Amnesty International opposed this and thought the whole, they said Biden was as cruel as Trump, but the main funding was for more border agents and more judges to process these asylum claims faster. So these folks weren't sitting here for years waiting for a hearing. Now, of course, they come here for the jobs. If they started locking up people who do the hiring, you'd see border crossing stop in a few weeks, but that's never going to happen. I want to ask you about your colleagues, but first I have to ask about this amazing letter you wrote to Governor Abbott 2 years ago, where you called for effective action to address the border crisis. I read it, and you very thoughtfully called for expanded land ports and highway expansions and border sheriff coalition funding, among other suggestions. I got to ask, sir, what progress has been made, if any, and what would you like to see happen this year, since it's quite clear the Republicans in D.C., and I presume in your state, aren't interested in actually solving anything.
No, they're not. And it's unfortunate. Statewide leadership, we are in this predicament that we find ourselves in because of statewide leadership, and specifically because we have statewide leaders that are listening to the far right. And it's almost like the tail wagging the dog. They represent a small portion of Texas, but yet they're the loudest ones in the rooms. And unfortunately, we have the three top statewide leaders that are just falling in love with this far right rhetoric and are appealing to every one of those senses. You know, I turned that 2.5-page letter into a 1-page, knowing my audience, right? And my colleagues in the short time span that I have to captivate them. And it really, you know, what I went down and what I did for all of your listeners who are not privy to that letter, I really went down and I wanted to know, what is the Republican base's concerns with respect to the migrant issue? And what can we do to make sure that we address every one of those points? And so I went about it that way and making sure that I could have a conversation at a coffee table with one of these reasonable or moderate or conservative Republicans, but that we could have that dialogue. And it's impressive how many times I went to my colleagues' communities, specifically in red, deep county conservative.
Right on.
And when I went, my wife and I, we would go up there and talk about our border panel with some of my other reps. And then afterwards, it's amazing how many of those farmers, ranchers, land developers, just small business owners would come up to me, conservative, and they would say, this is a great idea. Why hasn't my congressman done it? Why has it? Where's my state rep or my state senator on this issue? And we understand immigration is a federal issue. It's really narrow what a state can do. But I took it upon myself when I turned it down to a 1-pager. I did it in the furtherance of saying, look, if I wait for Congress, we've been waiting for 3-4 decades. Nothing's going to happen because they love the chaos it invites.
They do.
And so I took the position of, let me propose a state migrant processing and jobs plan at the state level. You know, between last session, the 2021 session, and 2023 session, we have now allocated close to $12 billion on border security and 1.5. That includes the 1.5 on our border wall we have allocated for it. Those are Texas taxpayers' funds that could go into 20 other better things.
And again, the Republicans in Texas will never go after the employers who put up the help wanted sign at our border, correct? They will never go after those people. It would stop border crossings instantly. But the only thing they love more than scapegoating Christian refugees at our border are exploiting them for their work.
Yeah. And so I found out that, look, if I hit a conservative or a moderate, and I hit them from a point of taxpayers, of savings, fiscal responsibility, efficiency,
very wise,
making sure that we're keeping track of them. If I address those issues, maybe then they will support this issue. And so when I talk to them about over $10 billion in border security for the last two Operation Lone Stars that we've passed, they say, man, that's a lot of money that we're having to spend on border security. If there was a way that I could recover those funds back, wouldn't it be awesome? And they all say yes, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, the mayor of Piedras Negras, our sister city across Eagle Pass, which is my hometown and where Trump was here last week, you know, performed an audit 2.5-3 years ago when the migrant surges first started taking place. He found out all these migrants have between $2,000 to $5,000, thousands of migrants, because that's what it takes to pay a cartel or a human smuggler to get you across into the U.S. In the committee hearings in Austin, in our the state legislature, we heard from $2,000 to $15,000 is what they had to pay the cartels or the human smugglers, the migrants have to pay. So I flipped it on its head and I'm like, we have created, after the Sound of Freedom movie, we have created and perpetuated by our very own actions at the state level and the federal level, this industry that's a $1 billion industry for the bad guys.
That's it.
So what do? You got to take it away from them. You got to take those billions of dollars that they're now making. They're not no longer doing drugs because they're making so much money with the aspect of smuggling these migrants.
I mean, I'd be thrilled to end the drug war and take that revenue away from them as well. But, you know, let's take on one monster at a time. In your letter to the governor, you also suggested a high-tech virtual border wall. And the launch of that was announced by Axios this past November. Sir, why is that such a significant development, and how do you feel about how it's progressing?
We were provided certain examples of what a high-tech border wall would do for Eagle Pass. And back then, I was a city attorney back then, so I was privy to some of this information from Customs and Border Patrol. It was pretty neat. And some of these hard terrain stuff, that's exactly what you need. A border wall. I mean, you find me a 10-foot border wall or a 15-foot border wall, and I can find you an 11-foot or a 16-foot ladder, you know, the way they say it, or a rope that's just long enough to get you over. And so I think investing in something like that, that was not actual infrastructure, roadway infrastructure, water lines, sewer lines, everything that border communities still need. It seems like the border communities are the last ones that any governor has paid attention to. And now with the new NAFTA agreement, that's what also your listeners need to understand. There is billions of dollars in nearshoring projects that are coming into the northern states of Mexico. All of those are going to leak and come over to the U.S. side also. We're seeing it already here in Eagle Pass, the Valley, and Presidio, which I represent in deep West Texas, and also in El Paso. Just think of the opportunities of the millions of dollars that are going to be moving here on a daily basis. We have one project here in Eagle Pass. It's a county of 70,000 people, John. Think about it. In the next 15 years, The Economist has claimed that there will be 320,000 jobs created in the region from that one project alone. It's going to have a $32 billion annual GDP impact to the region. It is going to be completely transformative for Eagle Pass, for Maverick County, and for the entire region. We landed a four-year university here after 20 or 30 years of begging the state of Texas. We've expanded. Now they've understood that that Laredo, which is an hour south of us, is too saturated with all of the traffic flow from Mexico, because it is their original place where they traffic everything from Mexico into the U.S. So we need to find other points of relief, like Eagle Pass, which is only an hour away, and Del Rio, which is only an hour north of us also. Investing, TxDOT, the Texas Department of Transportation, investing those dollars on that infrastructure will reap substantial benefits, not only to the border communities and to Texas, but the rest of the U.S., where we can get all of these products to their final destination point. And so I think that that's the focus that we need to do. And I'd like to go back to the original point of where I was saying the audit taking place.
Please, yes. There
were 8,000, if we were to charge the $2,000 fee based on what the mayor informed us, right, from the audits, the mayor of Piedras Negras, that's a very low figure. But even if we were to take that low figure and say, look, migrants, do not pay this money to the cartel, to the bad guys and the human smugglers. You're going to use our dry land ports, not the river, so that we don't expose our law enforcement, and we treat migrants humanely also. You're going to use the dry land ports. We get you across. Then once you get through customs and that vetting process, there's going to be, in all of these international ports, you have the Texas Department of Public Safety. They have to have a facility right next door to check all these 18-wheelers after they cross customs and border patrol.
Right.
Then they have to go through the DPS inspection. And so there we could set up processing tents where for the $2,000 that they pay the Texas as a processing fee, we issue them a non-voting, clearly distinguishable ID card. It'll say non-voting ID card to address every one of the Republican basis concerns that we would be issuing out cards that then they would use to vote. It'll be very different from your regular Texas driver's license, different in color, and it'll clearly say non-voting ID card. In the back, it'll have an RFID chip, very similar to you and my credit card that we have, the little processing chip. Mm-hmm. So they're harder to forge. They're easier to keep track of. And that's where your money is going to go in if you're a migrant. That way, the renewal fees that the state of Texas will also charge, we will be able to keep track of, and we will apply from your non-voting ID card that also serves as a credit card. because one of the conditions that we're going to impose is that you have to be gainfully employed in Texas, which is another one of the Republican basis concerns. They're coming over here and they're mooching up our system. Well, they're not going to mooch. They're going to be paying into the system.
That's it.
Taking from the system.
That's it. When adults arrive here, we don't need to pay to educate them. They're ready to start working, paying taxes, and paying into Social Security.
Yeah. At 8,000 people a day that we're crossing in the Eagle Pass Del Rio sector alone, if we charge $2,000, that's $16 million daily that we would receive and over $5 billion that we would be able to generate annually. Think about it. In 2 years, if we charge for the entire state of Texas, we would be able to recover the over $10 billion, a little bit over, that we've actually appropriated for border security. We would be able to return and reimburse these dollars to Texas taxpayers and be using it for increasing teacher salary pay, for fully funding border security measures, making sure that we are fighting fentanyl. You know, we have captured enough fentanyl to kill every man, woman, and child. Over 350 billion doses in the U.S., just in Texas alone. So obviously all of this, the Operation Lone Star, our numbers up until recently have continued to increase. The number of illegal drugs crossing has continued to increase. The number of arrests for criminal trespassing that the Governor Abbott had increased for a while before it just went, that system didn't work and they put a stop to it. And so all these things are hanging around Governor Abbott. And I think that as Democrats, we need to do a better job of exposing how Operation Lone Star hasn't really served its purpose. Even though I was a joint author and heavily supported it both times, what the governor is actually doing with Operation Lone Star has gone over and above what was proposed, what was discussed, and what was negotiated on the House floor in the Texas Capitol.
Well, fear and cruelty sell to a certain kind of voter, I know. But I want to ask you about something. Last week, the Texas Tribune reported that your state has now spent more than $148 million busing migrants to other parts of the country. Since Abbott announced this program in 2022, Texas has essentially expelled more than 102,000 migrants. Now, he said he was doing it to prevent the state from shouldering, the burdens imposed by open border advocates in other parts of the country. But 2 years ago, you proposed the Texas Migrant EIN pilot project to address this very issue in a more effective, more humane, more realistic way. I got to ask, what are your thoughts on this busing program, and what is the likelihood that a program like the one you've outlined will become a reality when it seems Republicans have so much at stake with doing nothing but spreading fear?
Well, we're not going to give up, right? And I think we do have some reasonable Republican colleagues on the House floor that have supported my processing plan. We're talking more and more about it. Obviously, you also see some changes. We were making changes to it with the Ledge Council, who drafts all of our legislative bills, and some of that stuff was being slow rolled. And you start to think, like, is this being done at the request of somebody else much, much higher than you as a statewide leader, just whispering to them, don't get Eddie Morales this migrant border processing fee, because it just makes too much sense. And then, you know, if he keeps talking about this and files it. You know, so we have it in draft form. Originally, it was filed last session as a pilot project. Now we're actually making it much more than just a pilot project, for it to take over all of the state of Texas, just because I think that it's garnered more and more attention. And, you know, obviously we don't want these migrants to remain here if they're not gainfully employed in Eagle Pass and all these border communities. To some extent, that busing program helps alleviate from these small communities on the border. But I will say that many of the migrants, when you visit with them, they'll tell you, where else can you get a free bus ride to your final place of destination when after you cross?
Yeah.
In the U.S. And so it's having actually the opposite effect of what Governor Abbott wanted. It's actually, these migrants are actually looking forward
them
coming, getting processed, and then they're actually asking, where's the bus?
I know. Ron DeSantis gave them a free plane trip to Martha's Vineyard. I mean, what a deal for these people. Before I let you go, Representative, thank you so much for joining us. I had so many questions, and I really admire the work you're doing and how you're trying to really bring people together in a humane way that's also good for business. I got to ask, what are you seeing happening in Texas that gives you hope, and specifically stuff that can give you hope for the country as a whole?
You know, I really do think that the urban communities keep showing that we are going to turn Democratic. Obviously, I represent a huge portion of rural Texas. As you know, it's the largest district, like you mentioned, in the United States. But I do believe that even here in rural parts of Texas, the Democrats, while they may be more conservative, we understand that we got to get back to jobs, to infrastructure, to making sure that we are delivering efficient services, that we're fully funding public education, that we're taking care of teachers. That's what the bread and butter, and that's what most of our constituents are asking for. And I think we just need to focus on that. The Democratic Party at the state level and the federal level need to do a much better job on messaging. Unfortunately, a lot of these issues require more than just one small slogan that can fit on the back of a bumper
yes,
sticker.
Yes, sir.
And that's where the Republicans and the far right really, really get us, because they're really good at just putting something really short, and it sometimes makes no sense, but then they just ride with it and they make it. They make something.
Insultingly simplistic solutions to complex problems are kind of the brand. State Representative Eddie Morales Jr. of District 74, what a pleasure to have you with us on SiriusXM. How can our listeners, sir, follow you and keep up with you and your work?
So we have Facebook, we have Instagram, and we have X. You can go to Morales for Texas on any of that, and you key it in, we should be able to come out. You can go to moralesfortexas.com also and find us on our website, and we'd happy to keep you all up to date. I don't have an opponent in the primary, but we are going to meet one in November. So we're going to go the only way that my wife and I go at it. It's 100 miles an hour. It's like we're behind and making sure that it's a grassroots campaign. And that's what's gotten us here. You know, last race, they dropped $1 million against us on a border wall. That never happened. Oof. We were able to beat that back with 250,000 of our own money.
Congratulations. Best of luck. Please come see us again. Really a pleasure. Have a great evening. We got to take a quick break. We will be right back with your calls at 866-997-4748. This is Progress.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This is SiriusXM Progress, and I'm Fugle Sang, joined in just a couple of seconds by the great Rhonda Hansom. And joining us in the studio tonight, our good friend, comedian John Poveromo. They'll be here in just a moment. Let me get to one more call, may I, while we are waiting for everybody to file in. Again, our number is 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. Sean in California, thank you so much for waiting on hold. You're on Progress.
Hey, brother, let me just make a quick comment on this SCOTUS decision.
Yeah.
I mean, my cynicism about the Supreme Court is palpable. But here's the thing. So, yes, I think the decision technically was correct. But you got to remember that these are Republicans, politicians in robes. So let's just do this. Obama is Donald bin Laden. Same exact facts. Florida wants to wipe them off the ballot. So we do a hypothetical, right? It goes to the Supreme Court, same exact facts, same exact Supreme Court makeup. You know what they do? They don't take the question whether or not states' rights and should decide the election, blah, blah, blah. They would take right away, because it's Barack Obama, the fact that he was involved in the insurrection and he cannot take the oath of office. That's how this works. So you and I, we can be Supreme Court justices. This is how it works, people. I know that it sucks because I remember Bush v. Gore.
This doesn't suck, by the way. I'm sorry. This doesn't suck to me. This is not a bad thing, this ruling today.
Okay.
I know I'm in a minority on this.
No. I don't even think you're the minority. It's the correct ruling, technically.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Because the question to them wasn't whether or not an insurrection happened. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But they did not deny an insurrection happened, and they don't deny that Donald Trump was part of it.
Right, but they didn't take the question just do it like they did with Citizens United when it wasn't the question they were asked, and they just do whatever they want.
It's true.
So they could have done whatever they wanted, but they didn't. What they did is actually do some normal justice stuff. But what I'm saying is that this is the cynicism that is throughout the country, because all they had to do was say, no, you were involved in the insurrection, you can never take the oath. Therefore, you cannot be on any ballot, because what's the point? They could have done that, but they didn't.
Nope.
And I think it was the right choice. I mean, the right decision.
It was the right decision for so many reasons.
Right. But the point is that right now we are in a bad place. And the fact is that this country needs a Supreme Court that actually is not trying to take freedoms away from people. Right. And so they did the right thing here. Didn't take the freedom away from Donald Bin Laden to be on a ballot. But the fact is, he's a traitor. He actually, did seat of war on the seat of government. And he also did incite an insurrection, and he did everything. All you have to do is put Barack Obama in his place, and you know that
this is
completely political.
Listen, if Barack Obama if Barack Obama had a secret Chinese bank account, and if Barack Obama was secretly paid by the Chinese while he was serving as president, the right-wing people would have never gotten over it. Donald Trump does it, and they don't even care. They don't even care he was being paid by not just his daughter, him. He was being secretly paid by the Chinese government while he was serving as our president. I mean, they can't stop shitting on the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. I'll never get over it. Thank you, Sean. It's good to hear from you, man. It's good to hear from you. I want to get to Rhonda Handsome, however, because we are blessed every Monday night to have one of the funniest ladies I know in the New York comedy scene join us and class up this room. Rhonda is open for Anita Baker and Diana Ross and Aretha Franklin. She does great solo shows. And March 14th through 17th, that's next week at the Sheen Center in Manhattan, 18 Bleecker Street, Thursday through Saturday, come and see her production of Dust of Egypt, Sojourner Truth's Story. That's at the Sheen Center for Thought and Culture. Welcome back to Tall, Dark, and Handsome Mondays.
I'm black, y'all.
Thank God. How are you, Rhonda?
I'm great. I am really great. The show, Thursday through Sunday at the Sheen Center, the 14th through the 17th, is so exciting. And the actors are so great. I'm having a wonderful time. You know, I love directing. I love being an artist, John. And sometimes I have a week where I'm doing everything. On Friday, I was at Otto's Shrunken Head, a dive bar on 14th Street.
Nice.
And I had an incredible set. I opened the show. Dave Lester was there.
Love Dave.
Menu and Tart. And Nancy Lombardo, and we blew the roof off the place. Eric Vedder has no name and a bag of chips, and I feel absolutely blessed to have been able to have a great stand-up set and to then go over to the Sheen Center and rehearse with some wonderful actors for Dust of Egypt. Life is good in the midst of the collapse of our world.
Right on, Rhonda. I'm so glad things are going well. I have to ask you about the state of our politics, however. A lot of people are talking about the Supreme Court decision today. I happen to think it was the right decision, and it's overall better for Democrats than if it had gone the other way. I think liberals who are freaking out about this are really viewing it wrong. But I think probably the biggest story that no one's talking about today because of this was Vice President Kamala Harris showing up at the Edmund Pettus Bridge over the weekend and calling for a ceasefire. And then today, She met with Benny Gantz, a member of Israel's wartime cabinet and a political rival of Netanyahu. It seems like, you know, Biden is still not able to come out for whatever political reasons and square off against Netanyahu, but his vice president is doing it openly now.
And no collard greens were harmed.
That is correct. That is correct. The Edmund Pettus Bridge was a good place for that.
Well, I don't think so, John. I think the bridge is about Black Americans striving for our rights here. And I feel like so many other causes eclipse our needs.
But I felt that by having the first biracial vice president make the statement there, it underscores the apartheid injustice of the Israeli civilian government towards the Palestinian people. And I thought they were making the case visually that it is a question of ethnic cleansing and racial identity.
Oh, she made that point, but it was not about Black people. And the blood that was spilled there was Black people's blood, Black people fighting to be recognized as human beings.
I'm with you.
Both.
But you would agree if Dr. King was here right now, he would certainly be against the violent actions of Hamas, but he would also be against the treatment of the Palestinian people by the Israeli civilian government.
I think he was anti-war, John. He was anti-war. But I also think that he knew that our needs and our cause was not being met by his extreme nonviolence, his extreme positions on integration and trying to live the American dream in a state of oppression, a constant state of oppression.
I'm with you. I want to bring someone else into this conversation, a noted expert on race, Black studies professor, the comedian John Poveromo, one of the funniest guys in the game. He hosts Dystopia Tonight, which is a terrific online show where he gets guests that are of such high caliber and occasionally people like me, and one of the funniest guys in the game. John, welcome. You're on with me and Rhonda. Welcome back to our studios.
Hey, Rhonda, what's going on? Nothing like two white guys to join into the conversation now. Now, you need another white guy to get on this, right?
I gotta say, between you and John, the white guy hair is fierce tonight.
Thank you so much.
Really fierce. So good to see you, John.
Good to see you, too. I haven't seen you in a while.
How you doing, Poveromo?
I'm doing good, man. Everything's going good. You know, we got the MS benefit coming up at the end of the month.
Tell me about it.
That is, third annual. I've been doing it for 3 years. It's March 27th to the 28th, 9 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's very dear to my heart. I stay awake for 24 hours.
You stay awake on Zoom,
yep,
live, doing comedy and interviewing people for 24 hours. I mean, most comedians are some kind of masochist, Rhonda. I don't know how the Catholic Church missed you, but like, this is especially admirable. You began it during COVID, because that's the only way to do a show like this.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was done during COVID. That's the thing. I did it through Dystopia Tonight, which is the podcast that you mentioned that I started during COVID, aptly named. And then I started doing the charity thing, and you've been on it all three times. Thank you. And, you know, it's like a mismatch. I mean, there's like 80 something between musicians, comedians, actors. It's one of those things that, like, you know, you start to plan it and you're like, this is going to be amazing. And then you realize comedians have no time control. So people are showing up late. People are staying too, you know, but it winds up being a lot of fun. And everybody who watches it live, because we do it live on Twitch or whatever, that's affected by MS, just has a blast. They have no idea.
Rhonda, like, it really is fun.
Yeah, Rhonda, you should do it this year.
You should come on with me and be my date for the Zoom thing.
And I want to do it. I'm there. Yeah,
all
I'm
right.
there.
And you're in with a good group. You got Madeline Smithberg with you and Robert Smigel.
Oh my God.
And then we can get Rhonda in
there. I go back with both of those people.
Oh, I thought so. Yeah.
I've known Smigel forever, and I've known Madeline longer than forever.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
What a great lineup.
Yeah,
it's
going to be a lot of fun, man.
Oh, terrific.
I'm excited about it.
Listen, we have a lot of calls who want to weigh in, but before I do this, I want to ask you, Poveromo.
Mm-hmm.
The liberals freaked out today.
Yes.
Liberals lost their mind today, Poveromo.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals are acting like it's the end of Old Yeller or the dog just got shot.
Yeah.
Because the Supreme Court decided to not hand Donald Trump the greatest victim martyr PR coup he could have possibly had in this campaign. The Supreme Court decided to not put the Democrats in the position of having to defend themselves of being anti-democratic, anti-one person, mm-hmm, one vote. The Supreme Court essentially allowed Donald Trump to be back on the ballot in states where he's already going to fucking lose anyway.
Yeah.
Why are liberals so upset by this, and why are conservatives so happy?
liberals are upset by it because here's what I do understand. They want some kind of justice to be seen. I think it's taken a long time. Like, stuff has happened incrementally,
but we've
been waiting a long time for something to fucking happen.
The guy's
happen.
On the hook for $500 million already in two cases.
But he's got those sneakers. So, you know what I mean?
The sneakers are very impressive. I know.
But
Rhonda, our hair could never be as white as those sneakers Trump tried to sell. don't deny this.
Those sneakers are crazy.
Oh, my God. That's...
I'm sure when you start walking in them, they start to disintegrate.
Finally, something more evil than Diddy. I mean, those sneakers. But I mean, conservatives were really happy about this. And I kind of feel like they would have gotten a lot more mileage out of Donald Trump playing victim and raising funds off of us. He lost Colorado by 14 points.
Yeah. Conservatives are oddly happy for a group of people who still believe the dude is president. You know what I mean? They deny the fact that he lost. He's running.
Well, they
shit
own the lips today. That's why they own the lid. They're
absolutely.
Drinking. They're. What are they saying to me in my tweets? They're drinking my cuck tears all day because Donald Trump gets to lose in a state he was going to lose in. So they're drinking my liberal cuck tears, and my liberal tears apparently taste delicious from all the hundreds of comments I've got.
Yeah. And we've been crying a lot, man. We're pussies. That's just it. You know, everybody knows that.
I'm giggling about this one. I love it.
Me too.
This would have helped him. So, and again, I think it's wrong. How are Democrats going to run around saying we're the party of democracy and then say, oh, but you can't vote for who you want to vote for?
Yeah.
This is Republicans who brought this case in Colorado. I'm like, Republicans, this is between y'all. Mm-hmm. Y'all started this. This is your thing.
Yeah. But the people that are angry about it, again, I don't think they care too much about the democracy, like the Democratic Party thing or whatever. They just want a swift fucking justice any way they can get it. And to them, I think this loss is another just fucking nail in the coffin to be like, yeah, you're never going to get this guy. You know what I mean? I think that's the feeling there. And they're not necessarily thinking it politically.
I think so. But I do think that I've said for a long time, Rhonda, they were going to swat this down for Colorado, but they're going to swat down what Trump really wants. For the Supreme Court to say that America has a king and that presidents can't be held accountable for crimes they commit. I mean, the presidential immunity thing is so fucking stupid. They're arguing that Joe Biden is allowed to assassinate Donald Trump and then assassinate any senators who would threaten to impeach him for it.
Yeah.
And you can't go after him if he's not impeached.
I love that he's a bumbling fucking idiot who can't put two words together, but at the same time, he's a mastermind who's going to wind up assassinating Donald Trump and take over.
It's exactly what Obama was. Obama was an embarrassing amateur in over his head and a socialist mastermind.
Absolutely.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Where are these assassination plans happening, John? I'm
there, as soon as the Supreme Court rules that Joe Biden's allowed to do it. I mean, these conservative people keep fighting for Kamala Harris to have the right to seat fake electors if Donald Trump wins. Like, no one's thinking through anything. Everyone's just trying to win today's fight. That's it. That's all our politics is. Fuck you. How do I win today? Oh, I lost today. Well, I'll win tomorrow. And it's like,
Can I tell you how far left I am, though? Whenever they do talk about these awesome Democratic conspiracy theories in a way to, like, you know, like how we're really secretly I hope we are that smart and we have these people in the shadows that'll save us from a fucking theocracy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but I know it's not the case. But every time they talk about it, I'm like, none of that sounds bad to me. Everything you just said about us being behind, like, yes, please. I want an Illuminati. I want a secret society.
I mean, I've always said the greatest blessing America has is that our fascists are so stupid and incompetent, Rhonda. I call them dim shady because the stupid is always greater than the sinister. However, Joe Biden's not doing himself any favors with the Israel-Palestine situation. And I was on two shows this weekend. I was on Stephanie Ruhle on MS and I was on the News Nation morning show yesterday. And on both shows, they asked about this. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I think that the 100,000 Arab Americans and their allies in Michigan voting for uncommitted in the Democratic primary was respectful to the president. I mean, they could have voted for Trump. They could have stayed home. They could have voted for Dean Phillips. But instead, they did this protest vote saying, hey, we're here. We want to support you. You know, Kaepernick gave the knee. He genuflected in deference. He didn't give the finger to the camera or raise a fist in defiance. And I think these folks did much the same thing. They didn't do anything that would hurt Joe Biden in the general election. But they let them know they're not happy right now. And I thought it was one of the smartest acts of Democratic protest I've ever seen.
So you think people who are unhappy should follow this trend?
I think people who are unhappy should follow the trend in a way that doesn't get Republicans elected. Yeah. That doesn't mean vote third party in a swing state. It's the opposite of that.
Well, I saw an airdrop of food into Gaza, John, and I got to tell you, it looked like a really bad video game happening
there.
I know.
Yeah. I know.
I was very upset. I feel like it's totally unfocused, and I don't see how it could be a good thing for the people it was aimed for. And I think it was the wrong way to try to give aid. There's got to be a more direct.
Well, they gave this way because the Israeli soldiers just opened fire on Palestinians last week and slaughtered a bunch of them. I mean, Donald Trump would be fighting to drop bombs on them from American planes, not provisions. And I think it's insane that we are spending billions to give Israel the hardware to destroy these people. And we're spending millions mm-hmm. to give humanitarian aid to the people right. we're paying to bomb.
And what's worse about it, too, is from Wendy's upscaled menu. So, like, it was even more expensive than normal.
Are you joking?
Yeah, I am joking.
Okay, thank God. Thank God. I was going to say, imagine how much Wendy's charges us for a Biggie Fries and Shake. Yeah. How much would the government charge us for a Wendy's Biggie Fries and Shake? I mean, what do you think about Biden and Palestine, John? Because
I think he's fucking up.
What is a progressive to do? I mean, how good is the AIPAC money that you're going to? And again, Hamas are monsters. They're Nazi fucking terrorists. Yes, we should talk about the rapes. We should talk about the slaughter. But like 30,000 dead civilians and 15,000 dead children.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's not going to look good in historical viewpoint.
No,
ma'am. It's not going to look good at all.
Yeah, no. Ma'am. And the thing that I think you just hit the nail on the head, too, about talking about that kind of stuff is I think it makes people feel fucking crazy when our side doesn't even acknowledge it. Like, at the very least, just come out and say, like, look, we move too slowly on this. But the fact that they do it, like, you're supposed to pat them on the fucking back now that they sent them eight. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Acknowledge that you maybe, like, just have some humility. That's what the thing is. Neither side can show that because it's seen as some kind of weakness. But
yeah, we're the country that keeps vetoing a ceasefire in the UN. Yeah. So it's really hard for this White House to Thea, can we play Kamala Harris yesterday in Selma where she spoke about this? I think it was actually really smart of the administration to have her do this. I think it's really smart for her to do this. I don't know if it's going to start winning progressives back, but here is the vice president yesterday.
And given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire. Yeah! For at least the next 6 weeks, which is what is currently on the table. This will get the hostages out and get a significant amount of aid in. This would allow us to build something more enduring, to ensure Israel is secure, and to respect the right of the Palestinian people to dignity, freedom, and self-determination.
That's the kind of messages this White House needs to start putting out.
Yeah, and they're going to have to start doing it more and more because right now the messages that I'm seeing on the progressive side on almost every aspect of social media, whether people think it's a joke or not, from TikTok to Instagram, is don't fall for Kamala Harris's call for a ceasefire, the U.S. airdropping food to
Gazans. I know.
And that's the shame
I don't like the way we're playing with words. A 6 weeks sounds like a pause to me,
that's all it is. It's a pause.
We've already had a pause and the slaughter continued, John. Mm-hmm. I don't like the wordplay at all.
My concern is, and I had this debate on Dean's show the other day with Maysoon Zaid, who I love and revere and admire and laugh at, but the racists don't want Arab Americans voting.
Right.
The oligarchs and the white supremacists and the Christian nationalists, they don't want liberals. They don't want people who care about Palestine voting. And when Donald Trump is president, he will cheer on Israeli slaughter of Palestinians with pom-poms wearing a cheerleader outfit while he goes to bring back his Muslim ban. Mm-hmm. I mean, as bad as this administration is on Palestine, you know the Republican Party will be 50 times worse and they'll giggle while doing it.
Well, it's evil. It is evil incarnate. And I feel like we are going to look like enablers. We are enablers in this really, I think the word that's been bantered on social media is genocide. And we're acting like Netanyahu wasn't being vilified just before all this was happening. So we're supporting someone that his own people were marching in the street in throngs
and,
again.
And before all this, it was just young people and liberals. Now it's every level of Israeli society. And Netanyahu is doing this to keep himself out of jail. Mm-hmm. He is doing this to keep his corruption charges at bay, his attempts to completely screw with the Israeli Supreme Court to keep himself out of prison. He is a corrupt gangster thug, and he cannot have any kind of peace because as soon as there is calm, the law is coming for him.
Yeah.
It's madness, but this is what we're at right now.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Brian in Oregon, tell me everything about the Supreme Court ruling. You're on Progress with Rhonda Hansom and John Poveromo.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
The Supreme Court ruling, well, it's interesting. I think my first reaction was, oh, Jesus. But then I thought, oh, well, it's probably the right thing. And and like you, I started thinking that he'll be on the ballot. And then I realized, like you, that... Then I started fantasizing about January 6th, and if Trump wins and we have the House and Senate, that's to me, that's what the Supreme Court is saying, that Congress has to deal with it, and they just don't seat the asshole or accept the votes.
I mean, that's essentially what they're saying. Although, actually, what they're saying is that Congress would have to pass legislation. So, conceivably, Democrats could get a huge majority and a two-thirds in the Senate, again, conceivably, and then pass a law where they can get rid of Trump within his first week, which I don't think they want either.
No.
No. Yeah. None of it's good. But it's good that we, the people, can, once again, like your dream of third time losing the popular vote.
That's all I want to see, John. I want to see I want to see a man lose the U.S. popular vote three times.
Yep.
I want to be alive to see that. We're so close, Rhonda. We're so close to watching Trump be rejected by the majority of Americans for the third year in a row.
Yeah,
that's the slowest drinking game in American history.
I know it really is,
like,
but it's so worth it in the end.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have an absinthe smoothie when this is over.
And then the other thing, Michelangelo had a caller, John from Kansas City, and I thought he had a great idea. He thought Jack Smith should just start indicting the unindicted co-conspirators in the D.C. case and trying those guys.
Sure. I mean, why wait?
Yeah. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Fannie Willis has already gotten half a dozen flips in the RICO case in Georgia, but apparently those never happened because she has a boyfriend. You see, a black woman in power had a relationship and enjoyed it, and that means Donald Trump on tape committing election fraud never happened. Mm. This is where we're at right now. Rhonda?
Well, you know, I think it's crazy that, you know, we all understand that there's probably nothing illegal that went on. And what is happening is the appearance is being used to smear her. And she has to really understand that
she knows
this called for the nothing to appear untoward. And it really is unfortunate. I think it is terribly unfortunate. It should not have been done, even if there was nothing illegal.
You mean the relationship? She should not have entered the relationship with this gentleman. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
If he was going to be.
I agree. But again, I agree with that. But it doesn't make him not guilty.
Right.
It doesn't erase the evidence we've already seen and heard.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I agree. And I actually was listening to part of that hearing when I think, and then she was on the stand. She came in, and I had to turn off with that white woman. I just said, who the hell is that white lawyer? Vaughn Willis that way. I would
have. Right on, Brian. Thank you for the call, man. Let's go to Rob in Orlando. Rob, welcome. You're on SiriusXM Progress with John and Rhonda. Hello. Rob in Orlando. Come on, baby. We held it for you. Are you there? Oh, Rob, you're breaking my heart, bro. Come on. Rhonda, Rob the racist from Orlando is on, but he appears to have put us on hold.
Maybe he's trying to find his hood.
They don't need a hood now. They have Twitter and anonymity. That's the new hood. Rob, come on. All right, Rob. We could add something beautiful. We could add something beautiful. Try us again later. Rob in Kansas City, who is not racist. Rob, welcome. You're on Progress.
Oh.
Hello.
Thank you so much, John. This first time calling you, I had an idea for your show this week to say you should start every show with the song State of the Nation by the New Order, just to remind people that the State of the Nation address is coming from Joe Biden.
Very nice. We're doing a big thing on Tuesday, on Thursday for it.
Yeah. What I really am calling about is, what do you folks think about AIPAC putting up $100 million to defeat progressives, basically Democrats? Because, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of us Democrats and liberals who are really against this whole thing in Gaza. The Republicans,
and a lot of American Jews, a lot of American Jews who are against it as well.
That is true. And believe me, they're on my Instagram feed, you know, all of the Jewish people who are against that. So I'm not speaking in general against the Jewish folks. But AIPAC definitely is putting up the money to defeat Democrats. And I don't know why they're doing that, because
I don't either.
Trumpers don't care about them. They were marching in Charlotte saying Jews will not replace us.
Trumpers don't care. Trumpers don't care about them. And Joe Biden is doing Netanyahu's work for him. Yeah. Joe Biden so far is letting Netanyahu commit an incredible slaughter of civilians. I'm not always comfortable calling this genocide, but it's war crimes.
Yeah.
And I mean, and Netanyahu will be held accountable.
It's a biting off your nose despite your
and
face.
And Joe Biden might be too, because let's face it, if you are, you know, feeding weapons to somebody who's committing genocide, said genocide, then you could be culpable in that as well.
I don't see South Africa going, I don't see the World Criminal Court going after Joe Biden for this, but I see them.
No. But I'm saying, you know, in theory, they can, because, that, you know, if we were supporting Hitler in Holocaust, then obviously then we would have been right there in The Hague, you know, with the Nazis.
No, we wouldn't have. No, we wouldn't have. But I get what you're saying. It doesn't look good either way.
We're enablers.
Thank you so much. I understand what you're saying.
Thank you,
sir.
We are enablers.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. I learned about that in my Al-Anon class. Yeah.
But, and the spite situation in general, like from a lot of what I'm hearing from progressive friends and everybody, again, on the internet as well, is it's a punishment situation. You know what I mean? They feel like, fuck, I mean, you know, they don't want to vote for Trump, but they're like, you guys let this shit happen. You deserve another, you know, it's a weird way of thinking.
It's so stupid.
It is.
It's so, I mean, like, show me someone with a uterus who feels that way.
I know. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like it's all these purity test males who were too pure in their liberalism to ever vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
And because of those guys and their commitment to the cause, we lost the Iran nuclear deal. We pulled out of every climate agreement. We got Roe v. Wade destroyed. We got a racist reality show clown lying to everyone during a plague and it killed a million people.
They've fired everybody on the fucking health to get us COVID and all that other shit.
I mean, we got three Supreme Court justices, far right wing, put on the court by a reality show clown landlord because a bunch of guys in six swing states were too fucking pure to compromise their values for Hillary Clinton. And sorry, people with uteruses, but boy, we smell good.